Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for this opportunity to gather here today in order to study your immutable word. It is our prayer that as we pause to commemorate your grace through giving, that we would therefore understand that this is the power that we have in your world to impact the devil's world with your immutable word. To these ends, we lift our prayer of grace in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. We're back at it again here on a Sunday morning. We've progressed in our studies all the way to document 29 of chapter 5, and we're on page 286. We will resume our study at point 66 and continue from that point. There are a lot of things that we have observed as we've plugged our way through James. We're nearing the end with a number of things still to go. As you have probably noted, we had to take a detour with James as he goes back to passages in 1 Kings. We've noticed some things about Elijah and others, and we're not quite through with that yet. But these are very important passages and therefore are very pertinent the kinds of things that James has been pointing out over the course of his letter. We resume our study today at point 66, and let's note these things. He had bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Every day when Elijah went down to the brook, he noticed something. It was getting lower and lower. This is his source of water. Man can live 3 days without water, and this is the greatest water in the world. Give you a picture of where things are. He's at the brook Kereth, and it's an offshoot of the Jordan River. You can see what I would call a geographic picture of this to the right. The brook Kereth is just to the north of the words you see there. And then the major river, the Jordan River, is to the left. We are going to see some things on the left-hand side, a place called Zarephath. He's going to meander over there for a while. This would be Elijah. And so you can see where Zarephath is. It's in the north of the nation Israel. And then below that is the kingdom of Israel, and below that the kingdom of Judah. So I thought these maps would be handy as we go through our study today. I've always loved maps, and so every now and then I'll put some up on the board. I think they give you perspective of where things are occurring in a given passage when it's pertinent. And so these two maps here I'm going to leave up over the course of these 2 hours. So you can reference these as necessary and therefore have a little bit of a picture about where things are happening and what's going on in these particular areas. We've noticed something that every day when Elijah went down to the brook, that's the brook Kereth. It's a small tributary of the Jordan. And therefore he noticed something. It was getting lower and lower. This is the source of water. A man can live 3 days without water, and this is the greatest water in the world, the brook Cherith. Interesting thing is you can't do without water, and this world is filled with it. I don't know what the stats are, but there's more water than there is land. And so it's very important that we have the water. It needs to be in the ocean, it needs to be in the rivers, and it needs to be in the brooks. And it supplies us with the absolute essential that we must have in order to live. I would be willing to bet that each and every one of you here today live in some kind of edifice called a house, an apartment, a building, or whatever, and there's plumbing. And you can get water. And you showered up today, I assume. And you're all ready to go again. And you've used water. And you had breakfast, I assume. I don't eat breakfast when I teach, so I have to eat later. But nevertheless, you will get around to drinking water today. And it's in the pipes. And you need it. And you can't live without it. And this is the story that we're tracking here. And we're tracking, of all people, back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings, a guy named Elijah. So he had bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And every day, Elijah went down to the brook. He noticed something. It was getting lower and lower. This is his source of water. A man can live 3 days without water, and this is the greatest water in the world. He's talking about the water in the brook Cherith. The flood keeps coming. Bread and flesh, steak and bread, etc. But every day the brook keeps getting a little lower and a little lower. And the question arises, it says, why? Now you do remember about the birds that are flying things in for him, the ravens. They bring meat and they bring him other items for him to sustain himself. And they're doing it consistently on a daily basis. I had a picture for you, I think, midweek of him sitting there with the ravens. Now, I don't know how you tame ravens. I have no idea about that, but they're black. And these ravens were given instructions to take food to Elijah. He has to be sustained. And the Lord's got a process underway. There's some shins that needed to be kicked, and he's going to be a major impact in that. And so as we go through this, you'll be recalling things that go all the way back to the Old Testament and specifically in 1 Kings. Therefore, the food keeps coming, bread and flesh, steak and bread. Steak and bread, that's food, that's dead meat. But every day the brook keeps getting a little lower and a little lower, and the question arises in all of this is, why is this going on? Well, because back upstream, the River Jordan was drying up. The sun shines every day on the Jordan, and water evaporates, but there's no rain and there is no shade. And therefore, divine discipline is being imposed upon the people of Israel. The reasons for that, and of course it comes out in our study. But things are beginning to occur in Israel that need attention from the people who live there. And when a situation occurs in a client nation, and this would be a priest nation for them, when things occur in a client nation and there are circumstances within the environment that prevent normal activities from occurring, then that is divine discipline. And divine discipline is designed to get the attention of everyone. Believers, therefore, understand that there's a shrinkage going on in the society. And that shrinkage demands attention from the people who live there. Some will orient and adjust, and others do not. There will be a sifting out over time to restore order. If order can't be restored, in this case, the priest nation collapses. In our circumstance, the very same thing is going on in this client nation. The loss of thought, the ignoring of truth, and the combination of what I would call ignorance for lack of biblical inventory of ideas has led us to the present zeitgeist. And our job is to continue to press the attack, grow in grace, and stand fast. So nevertheless, we've got this situation. Again, let's note that the food keeps coming for Elijah. He gets these groceries from the ravens. Question is, why is the brook somehow drying up? That's because God has told Elijah there's going to be 3.5 years of no rain. And if it doesn't rain, then the Jordan River is going to shrink because of the lack of rain. And the tributaries will shrink as well, such as the brook Cherith. That's going to be an attention getter. Everyone will be impacted by this. We do not know what is on the agenda in Client Nation America in the 21st century, but we do know that is similar to what is going on in Israel in what we would call the Old Testament, in the priest nation. Our job is to continue to grow in grace and make application of Bible doctrine on a daily basis, wherever you live, wherever you go, whatever you do. And doctrine will be your guide. There are going to be times, we do not know when, there's going to be some resolution to this. We're not prophets. But we do know that what presently is taking place in this client nation is being imposed by those who are from the dark side. And they reveal themselves on a daily basis. And they have ideas and concepts and strategies and tactics that are designed to suppress the population of this client nation, trying to bring everyone to heel so that they can have their way with the entire population. And over time, there will be a resolution to this. We're not prophets and don't know if there will be a resolution, but something will happen, either good or bad. And there will be a collapse or there will be an advance. We don't know. We just know that our duty, our obligation, our actual biblical strategy is to gather together systematically over time in a church and then take that information with us and make application of what we know in our personal lives. That's all that you are required to do. But it is signal for the believer in time whenever they have the opportunity to, let's say, observe the zeitgeist and understand that they're being called out as front rankers. And you can't be a front ranker unless you've got artillery in your soul that you can fire as silent as you want to or as active as you desire. But nevertheless, you know doctrine and you know how to make withdrawals and therefore with those withdrawals, consistent applications. It can be thought, decision, or action. It can be something you think, something you say, something you do. But when you utilize those assets, you are becoming a front ranker in what is called the angelic conflict. So we have these things occurring. And for Elijah, the food keeps coming, and which we just noted. Because back upstream, the Jordan River was drying up. The sun shines every day on the Jordan, and water evaporates, but there is no rain, and there is no shade. And the sky, therefore, is as brass. It goes on day after day. The water level at the Jordan is going down. If the Jordan is going down, then the Cherith is going down as well. And that's his source of water. That's where he was told to go by God. Go to the brook Cherith, and I'll give you more information later. I'll feed you. I'll send ravens in with flesh and other things, bread. But you stay there until I give you further instructions. We'll see some further instructions in today's Bible classes. So there, this is where God wants Elijah to be. So give some thought to this. In the present zeitgeist of Client Nation America, where are you? Say, well, I live at my house. I live at my apartment. I live on the back 40. Wherever it is you live, that's where you are to function. That's your base of operation. You move out from there. You do whatever's required of you on a daily basis. For example, on Sundays, you meandered over here to church. That's fine, but the last amen is said. You may go get groceries somewhere, but eventually you wind up back where you live. And you live there because you feel it's safe or not. Is Rick still in here? Rick's guarding the front door. I don't know what kind of artillery Rick has, but he needs it. And you should pray. We can laugh at that, but you need to pray for Rick. He lives in the city of St. Louis. Not many people live long in the city of St. Louis. But he's standing in back in the aquarium, and he's just giving me a thumbs up. He lived one more day. That's called a wall of fire. So if these things are exigencies that occur from time to time, especially in a client nation. And that's what we have going on. Now, when I say the last amen, you're going to go probably, you'll go get groceries somewhere maybe, but then you'll wind up going home. And home is where your base of operations happens to be. Do you feel safe there? And by the way, Rick looked pretty good. He walked in the aquarium back there, and he doesn't have any gunshot wounds or anything. But he does live in a very dangerous area called St. Louis. By the way, I thought that I'd died and gone to heaven when I got a job up here back in 1985. Not because of the church, but because of Busch Stadium. And I thought, oh, I'll be able to go to a lot of Cardinal games. And then I won't get into that. But they went south on me, so. I've been to one game this year. Ryan and did Andy come up? It was just Shannon and Ryan. Anyhow, Ryan wanted to go to a game, and he wanted to pull, forget all of this, he wanted to pull for the Baltimore Orioles. Well, I know. It was you, wasn't it? Well, I understand. So it was a battle of the birds. And so the birds came in, all both of them, and the Cardinals had a deal where they won the first game of a three-game series. And then they had another game the next day, and it rained on them before it was over. And so when we went down to the third game in the afternoon, there was a resumption of the night's game before, the half a game. And the Cardinals got the lead in that part of the game and actually won that game. And then they took an hour off, and then they started again, and they won the third game. They swept the Orioles, which I thought was good. So if you're going to go down there in all that chaos, you may as well sweep. In this case, the sky is as brass. It goes on day after day. The water level at the Jordan is going down. And if the Jordan is going down, then the Kereth is going down as well. And that's where Elijah hangs out. This is where God wants Elijah to be. So he can't say, God, why did you put me here? He told him, said, I want you to show up at the Kereth Brook and stay there till I tell you different. And I'll send groceries. Don't worry about that, but you're to stay there until other news comes in to you. So everyone faces what Elijah faced. See this in verse 7, Operation Dried Up Brook. This is indicated in 1 Kings 7, verse 7. After a while, the stream dried up. Horeban is the word there. And it means hot sand. In other words, when a stream, this is a brook, and when finally the water supply had run out because there is no rain for 3.5 years, then the brook dries up. What's going to be his water supply? Got to have that. Because there had been no rain in the land is the reason for it. The brook finally dried up completely because there was no rain in the land. This is the northern kingdom, and the brook is dried up. Many times the super grace believer or the growing believer finds himself in a test area and have a dried up brook. Now that's a sort of an illustration. You can have a dried up brook and no water in sight because your logistics are challenged in one way or the other. Let's say that you have a situation where you need money and don't have it, need transportation and don't have it, need to be able to go to a geographic location out of where you are and there's no way to do so. You're stranded. What are the reasons for it? They vary with the individual. But nevertheless, whatever your circumstance and situation, you know you are in the divine decree. You are where you are because it's God's will for you to be there, among others. You have to orient and adjust. And the orienting and adjusting requires recall of doctrine. If you are a believer and you're moving forward in the plan of God, and there are circumstances that begin to arise that limit your ability to function in a normal fashion, then you need to orient and adjust to the new environment. You can ask questions, why this, but there are things for you to learn during that challenge. And it's going to be doctrine. And if you have the doctrine, you can apply it. And when you apply it, God will honor that. But there are circumstances that emerge collectively over time that impact everyone in a given situation geographically. And we have that situation now presently in client nation America, from the Canadian to the Mexican border to the Atlantic and to the Pacific. It is one thing going on. Why is it doing this? How is it happening? Who is behind it? What are they up to? Is there anything any of you can do about it? The answer is not much, other than doing this. But I can tell you that you have the information that is required and necessary to recall from your inventory of biblical absolutes to make good decisions from a position of truth, and you can get through this. And the worst thing that can happen to you is they kill you, and that's absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. You died on the battlefield. Otherwise, you have to keep pressing the attack. You do it with doctrine. And when you do it with doctrine, God will lead you. He will put you where you need to be. And if all fails, then it was your day to go, your day to be impacted, your day to orient and adjust with doctrine. So this is quite the challenge that we have before us. How are you going to get through this? You will do it with the doctrine you have. And it's pretty much no other option. The only person who can panic and be down there digging in the riverbed or scouting up and down the stream or looking for a new water hole, that would be the reversionist. You ever think about moving? He was told to go to the brook Cherith, go there, drink that water. And then it starts shrinking. The water supply is shrinking. He's told to go there. So that's going to hit your mind. I have to have water. Elijah's not always going to be alone, since there is a woman in verses 9 and 10 who is a widow. And we have the feminine noun Isha, which means a woman. Isha. So that wound up being a woman's name back over in Genesis. She has a son. A lot of people have children, but never been married in this case. She's a, quote, forsaken woman. Whoever the husband was, he's not dead, and he just left her and moved on. Went on down the road. Remember, Elijah is a super grace believer. Where is he going to go? He's going to go to Isha al-Manah, a widow woman. 1 Kings 17:7-9. After a while, the stream dried up and became, and because there had been no rain in the land, and the Lord told him, get up, go to Zarephath in Sidonian territory. Okay, there's your maps. I'll leave this up the entire Bible class, only visual you'll need, but we're going to go on a trip. Going to go to Zarephath in Sidonian territory, and you're going to live there for a while. I've already told a widow who lives there to provide for you. There's this widow. What kind of a widow is she? How do you get to be a widow? But Elijah is a man who has doctrine in his soul. And when the water went down every day, his doctrine did not do so. His doctrine continued to grow all while the water was going down. And you cannot lose on those circumstances. When the water is all gone, he still has every bit of doctrine that he ever had and more. And therefore, his life is doctrine. It's not water in the brook. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situations, the water is the Word of God. Stay with that. At the last gasp, some water will show up if you need it. But the whole idea is the water, the Word, is what's going to keep you going. Keep your eyes focused on the essentials. And the essentials are, including all of the various doctrines that you know, the Word of God. That's what you recall. That's what you select and then apply. And if you have the doctrine, you can do it. No matter what the circumstances are, you can be a time of prosperity and a time of shrinkage. But nevertheless, logistics will be supplied for those God needs in the zeitgeist. And that's who you are. Now, there's been shrinkage in Christianity. I was down at Baraka Church a week or so ago. And I looked across that congregation. And there's shrinkage there. I understand that that is not unusual. Christianity, in the sense of who shows up at a local church, is now shrinking. Why, we don't know. We can guess at it and say, well, the reasons are thus and so, and you may have a checklist. But the idea is, why is it that throughout Christendom, except for the holy rollers, they'll always get out and scream and holler. But people that are actually interested in the Word of God, they find it necessary to withdraw from society, and all that I can figure out that causes the withdrawal is one of two things. Doctrine doesn't work, so why do I have to keep doing that? Or secondly, it's dangerous to get out of my own house, so I'll do electronic contrivances. I've noted, by the way, we looking back in the behind the glass there, they can look now if they wanted to, and they could see how many people are logging on to our Bible class this morning. And I would be willing to bet to you it's a neighborhood in round figures of 160 hits. We don't know how many people that includes. I make the bold statement that every hit equals at least two people, a man and a woman, and then their children. And then maybe a bunch of children, all of that. So just my point, the shrinkage is not occurring in electronic contrivances. It's occurring in buildings and facilities. So we don't know about all that either. But here we are. But why is that? Why the shrinkage at the local church? This is what the church is all about. We've got a main drag out there called River Road. Got a sign posted. This is a church. The people come in here. Yes, there you are. You're sitting up here alert. Nobody's drifted off yet, but it is early. The whole deal is somehow, some way, you can find doctrine either face-to-face or with an electronic contrivance or live or electronic contrivances with gizmos. You can do this. And therefore, you can continue to grow in grace. And the growing in grace and the enlargement of your inventory of biblical absolutes is the absolute necessity to overwhelm the current zeitgeist. That's what's going to win the battle. When water's all gone, he still has every bit of doctrine that he ever had and more. Therefore, his life is doctrine, not water in a brook. Now, did you ever value something and lose it, like a thing, a person, a circumstance? That is what Elijah has done. God has to entertain Elijah for 3.5 years, and the prayer was begun, but it was stopped. Elijah's initial prayer was for the rain to stop. Now that prayer, when operational, has a great deal of power. It's not going to rain anywhere. Now, how does he know this? Because God told him 3.5 years isn't not going to rain a drop. Wherever you go, you're going to have to find water best you can, but it's not going to be any raining going on. But in the meantime, what is Elijah going to do? Because he has to live for 3.5 years, and he has to finish up the prayer. He's got to pray, and there's going to be some praying going on, but there won't be any water. How do you entertain a person who has everything by means of doctrine? How do you entertain a super grace hero? How do you get this entertainment? Presently, he has the most beautiful spot in the world at the Brook Cherith, the best food in the world delivered by the ravens. This is the first class operation. The only trouble is this marvelous, wonderful water is going down until it finally gets gone, and the doctrine, however, has not. There's always going to be truth. There's going to be doctrine. You can aggrandize your inventory. You can make application. What about when everything enters operation shrinkage? That's when you have to take the doctrine you know and make those applications. Some of you may be doing that now because of the current situation nationally. Are there places you won't go? Like to St. Louis? Are there places that you would like to go but don't want to go there right now? Where would you go on a vacation? We've got 48 states and then plus those ringers that you can go. But which one of them? We recently went to Montana, had to fly in an airplane. And we went into a place, I can't remember the name of it, I think it was Bozeman, up in Montana. And the reason we went out there was to go down to the Yellowstone place, which is a pretty big piece of real estate. By the way, one of the big attractions at the Yellowstone are geysers. This is where the earth vomits. And it's a big deal to watch this vomiting going on because it's just, everywhere is the vomiting going on. And they have a little thing, you can see it right over there. They have a little walkways, and you say, well, look through here. There are little geysers that will go off and go, and that's a little. So you walk through that. They got walkways so that you don't get this very hot water. So don't go out there because you'll get scalded. But then, so, but then the big deal is the big deal, which is the, I forget the name of it, but it's the big one. Oh, okay. They have a name for it called Old Faithful. Why is it faithful? Because it runs about on a 58-minute cycle. Now, that means there's a hole in the ground and there's a lot of water down underneath. And the little guys are on the edges going, pff, pff, pff. But then there's a big boy in the middle. And almost every hour, it regurgitates. And it goes way up in the air. I saw this happen. Way up in the air. And it spreads out, and the water's crashing everywhere. And everybody has little seats that they can sit in and watch this and say, snap pictures and everything. Like, it happens every hour, so it's no big deal. You can come back in an hour and see it, do it again. You know, this is the geyser. So we went and saw the geyser explode. And everybody actually gave an applause. Some people said, happens every hour. You stay there all day and just be wore out from clamping. So we went there. Then we decided to ride around and see other places, and they had the little things spewing up everywhere. Everywhere. Went to a lake. In the lake, little poofs. I'm thinking, this is not a good place to live. This is going to explode someday. But we live through that. Why am I telling you that? Because this entire country is like a gurgling cauldron of people that are living geysers. And that's your fellow citizens. In addition, Elijah is the special guest of God for 3.5 years, during which he has a variety of things to entertain him. The drama opens in the best way possible with an old water situation. When that brook was dry, he was at the same spot where the Exodus generation was at Meribah. They were reversionists, but Elijah is a super grace hero. So there's two differences. One group were those who had lost the thought. Elijah's there because he's got the thought. Yet, when you get to your no water situation, you lose a friend. You lose a situation. You lose things that are important to you. You lose something you associate with happiness. And when your brook is dried up, what are you going to do? If you come to Bible class and take in doctrine until you grow up, it is not going to make any difference. You will find out how God is going to entertain you next. God will entertain you. There's going to be times of withdrawal because of circumstances. And the withdrawal may say, well, I can't do this because of that. Nevertheless, you have your freedom, you have your doctrine, and you have your super grace status. And if you have that status, if you have the super grace mentality, it doesn't matter the zeitgeist in which you function, including Client Nation America at the present hour. You can come in here and you can hear the immutable word of God and know this. I inculcate this information. I facilitate it through application. I enlarge it through facilitation of memory. I can recall that and make application when necessary. This is the thing that occurs through volition. If there's one issue that is preeminent over all others, it has to do with free will. Everyone at the moment they're born, have volition. unless they're brain dead in some way, then that's, God will take care of that. But if you're healthy mentally, and by the way, baby screaming, what's the reason for that? They're unhealthy. They want food. They need water. There's too much noise. Whatever it is, that's why they're screaming. Give them money. No, wait. Not money. Milk. Or something similar. Yet when you get to your no water or no milk situation, you lose a friend. You lose a situation. You lose things that are important to you. You lose something you associate with happiness. And when your brook is dried up, what are you going to do? The brooks have dried up. If you come to Bible class and take in doctrine, until you grow up, it is not going to make any difference. You will find out how God's going to entertain you next. And it's all about volition. When I say the last amen, and by the way, that's going on right now. Some of you are paying attention to me and some aren't. And I understand those that drift. I'm very boring. Some of you are just biting the bullet thinking, I can concentrate. I can do this. And then it's almost time to go get coffee and so on. And then there are those out in the hinterlands who are calling themselves Doritos. And they're doing this. And then, Margaret, is it still happening? Yes, it's still happening. But the idea is there's the opportunity to gather immutable truth into your soul so that you can use your volition to say, I understand that. It is a necessary piece of information that I need in my inventory of ideas for recall and application. And I'm using my volition to buy into that idea. And you can sit there also and say, that's a bunch of hooey. Who is this guy? And he's free to do that. She is. He or she. That's called freedom. You're free to be wrong. When you have capacity for freedom and capacity for life and capacity for love and capacity for happiness and capacity for prosperity, you also have capacity for the pressure. God, right now, there's more pressure on the volition of individuals than any other time in recent history. There have been times in our nation's history where people had to lock down mentally and decide, how am I going to get through this? Well, it's with doctrine. You say, what I really need are groceries. Well, doctrine will make sure you have the groceries. There's a thing called Dierbergs. Go there. I love Dierbergs. When I was in Houston, there were Randalls. And when I would take bread into Randall's, I had a bread rack all the way across here. And the Roman meal was a big thing back then. To put Roman meal up there, it was a wheat bread. Boy, that Roman meal was good. And so I would come home after running those things. I'd always stole a loaf and take it home. That was my bonus. And I'd eat Roman meal with peanut butter and such. Everywhere you go, you have the opportunity to use the doctrine you have to make whatever circumstance you have be a good day. Be a good day. Now let's go 93. When you have capacity for freedom and capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, capacity for prosperity, you also have capacity for the pressure. Capacity for pressure is doctrine in the soul, and the dried up brook will never bother you. So it's a dried up brook. You take over here, Brook Kereth, it's drying up. Why is it drying up? Because the Jordan's shrinking because there's no rain. So the Jordan is, the channel is there, but the water is going away. And God said the reason the water is going away is because it's not going to rain. So you say, you wake up in the morning and say, darling, what's the weather today? She says, it's going to rain all day. Oh, I can't get anything done. Well, if you want water a week from Tuesday, it'll be fine for us to have it today. Water is the lifeblood of keeping you alive and getting your brain watered. Presently, client nation America is facing a real dried up brook. Go from the Pacific to the Atlantic, the Canadian and Mexican borders, everything in between, everything in all the 48 are drying up. You say, well, we have these storms and everything. Yes, you're having the storms, yes. But in the souls of the people, they're drying up. Souls are drying up. Dried up brooks in the souls. Are you ready for it or not? Whether you're ready for it is the doctrinal content of your soul. What is the inventory of immutable absolutes resident in your soul? Have you done an inventory? How do you get the inventory? How do you aggrandize it? Does your doctrinal cup runneth over, or are you primarily ignorant of biblical absolutes? It's imperative moods. I'm emphasizing imperative moods throughout James, for example. You know, think this way, don't think that way. The imperative moods are going to go up to about 57 of them before we're done. And it's going to be at the end. I'm going to have a book, if I live that long, I'm going to have a book at the end, and we're going to have an expanded translation of the entire letter of James, and every imperative mood is going to be isolated. And it's going to be in the context of the expanded translation. When we finally get around to publishing that, every time you get to an imperative mood, think about the context. It's an imperative mood. What is imperative mood going to tell you? One of two things. You need to think this way, or you don't need to think that way. And it's an imperative, and it's not going to change. What is the inventory of immutable absolutes resident in your soul? That becomes the test. We're going to say, we have another hour yet to go in a few minutes. Then I'll come, some people abscond at halftime, but nevertheless, some of you are going to come back. And I'm going to bore you for another hour. And there's going to be other things that are going to be said in the second session. And they're going to be absolutes that you're going to need to pay attention to. You ought to think this way. You ought to not think that way. They're imperatives. All right. With Elijah, there's no problem at all. He just sat down and said, all right, Lord, what next? And almost immediately we read this in 1 Kings 17:9. This is an expanded translation. Get up, go to Zarephath in Sidonian territory. Get up and go. Where is he? Brook Kereth. Where is he going? Zarephath. Zarephath actually is the best way to pronounce it. Zarephath is up yonder in the northern portions of Israel. See that right up here at the top? Okay. Where is he now? Brook Kereth, right there. And so I'm trying to see if I can get a reading here. I thought I could see. It looks like that's it right there. This little bitty line, that's the Brook Kereth. And that's it right there. But see, it's a little bitty thing. And it comes off what? The Jordan River. And it's drying up. The first ones to go are the little bitties. And that's where he is. And now what is he being called to do? Go back across the river and go north to Zarephath. And we're going to wind up with a woman up there. She's going to be a trip. But he's got to go deal with that. Why is he pulled out from the Brook Kereth to go up to Zarephath to deal with this wildcat woman? Got to live with her. Got to live somewhere. And she has a place that he can go and have a room to go to. You say, well, why would he stay with her? Because God put him there for a reason. Why do you wind up with places you go? You decide to go there. Sometimes you have to go there. You wake up one day and somebody says to you, you need to go to Omaha. You need to go to San Antonio. You need to go to wherever, Timbuktu. You need to go there. Why do you need to go? Because you got a job that says you have to go there. And you think, I don't want to go to Timbuktu. But if you keep this job, you got to go. What are you going to do when you get there? Well, I'm going to do the job I've got, and I'm getting the hell out of there. Well, still got to go. Still got to go. So we've got this 1 Kings 17:9. Get up, go to. Now the volition's involved here. See that? Get up, go to Zarephath in the Sidonian territory and live there. What if you were told, what if God woke you up tomorrow morning and said, you got to move to New York City? Are you going to go? God told me how to go to New York City. Damn. Oh, not New York City. Well, that's probably what he's thinking. Why'd I have to go to Zarephath? And this is woman up there I got to deal with. This is not good. This is not good. Guess what? He goes. Get up and go to Zarephath in Sidonian territory and live there. Yashav. I've already told PL, perfect imperative mood of the verb sawa. That means to be commanded. I have already been commanded to go to a widow who lives there to provide for you. The word provide is cool. This woman's going to provide your logistics so that you can be there to execute this imperative mood. That's your order. Question arises, why Zarephath? This is the land of Jezebel. Oh, these women. See, that is Sidon, and it's called a land of apostasy and a land of reversionism. So we've got Elijah going up there to deal with a woman named Jezebel et al. Center of Baal worship of the ancient world at this time, even though it is the center of phallic reversionism and phallic apostasy, there is a fallen woman who has positive volition, who has repented and wants to recover from reversionism. So now we've moved from Brook Kerith to Zarephath. Good place to stop. It's now 10:30. It's time for tea and crumpets, and I'll see you back here at 10 till the hour.